Joel chapter 2. My subject this morning, to get back, go back. To get back, go back. God is a God of restoration. And no matter what you have lost, God will make it up to you. He's that good. He's that merciful. He's that kind. God is a God of restoration. I'm reading from Joel chapter 2, beginning in verse 12. Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your hearts, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. Verse 13 says, and rend your hearts and not your garments, and turn or return. God is calling people to return. Return unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of evil. In other words, when you repent and when you return to God, he changes his mind about bringing on your life the judgment that is due you because of your sin against him. He does that because he is gracious and he is merciful. And look at verse 14, Joel 2 and 14. Who knows if he will return and repent or change his mind and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering. That word is grain in other translations. It means a grain offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. There you have the elements of Holy Communion, bread and wine. He certainly left a blessing when Jesus hung upon that cross, and he left us the communion meal that represents his broken body and his shed blood. We're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. It was holy blood. It was pure blood. And God poured out his blood to save us. God said, return unto me. And when we do that through prayer, weeping, repentance, fasting, or whatever it takes you to get back, I want you to know God will return unto you. Now, I want you to notice this story in 2 Kings chapter 8. 2 Kings chapter 8. I used this in a message earlier this year entitled, The King Said. 2 Kings 8 and 3. And it came to pass at the end of 7 years that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines, and she went to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. Now look at verse 6. And when the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed unto her a certain officer, saying, restore all that was hers and all the fruit of the field since the day she left the land even until now. Now, she had been gone for 7 years. But when she came back, she got her house back and she got her land back. But then the king was so gracious and so merciful to her, instead of punishing her for leaving the land, he gave her her house back. He gave her her land back and all the profits that the land produced while she was gone. I want to share with you a principle found in the Word of God this morning. How many of you know that anytime you find a Bible principle, it will work in any area of your life? If you find the word for it, if you work the word, that principle will work in any area of your life. And here's the principle. If you're going to get back what you lost, you got to go back to what you left. If you're going to get back what you lost, you got to go back to what you left. My subject, to get back, go back. Let us pray. Father, we love you and praise you and thank you so much, Lord, for your presence here today. Thank you for the anointing. Oh, God, I have labored over this. I have prayed over this, Lord. I have sought you. And now, Lord, I ask you to take these words, to anoint them, oh, God, to anoint me, Lord, to speak as the Holy Ghost would lead me. And, God, I ask you to give us a listening ear that we may hear what the Spirit says to the church, that we may hear what you're saying, Lord Jesus, to your bride, because you're coming for a bride without spot, blemish, or wrinkle. Lord, it's got to be holy, just like you are. So, Lord, we ask you to work a work in our hearts that only you can do through the power of the Holy Ghost. And everyone said in Jesus' name, amen. If you're going to get back what you lost, you got to go back to what you left. If you got leaving on your mind, you've got losing in your destiny. Let me say that again. If you got leaving on your mind, you've got losing in your destiny. Because the principle is this. Anytime you leave something, you lose something. You cannot leave something without losing something. And if you want to get back what you've lost, you got to go back to what you left. You cannot expect to have the benefits of a company or a corporation if you leave that company. If you leave the company, you lose the benefits of the company. You lose the paycheck, and then you lose the benefits of insurance, and then you lose all the other perks. You lose the benefits if you leave the company. When you leave the church, you lose the benefits. When you leave the Word of God, when you leave an intimate, dedicated life and consecration to God, you cannot leave without losing. When you leave something, you lose something. When you leave something that used to work, you lose something. And the only way to get back what you lost is to go back to what you left. If you want to get back what you lost, you got to go back to what you left. I got up early one morning this past week, and I realized that we didn't have any half and half in the house for my coffee and my wife's coffee. She reminded me of that. I was in a hurry because I had some men scheduled to come to do some work at our home. And I went to the grocery store to pick up some items. And I had those workers on my mind. And I had my 12 o'clock appointment on my mind. And I had my 1 o'clock appointment on my mind. And I had the evening appointments on my mind. But I got back to the house before the workers showed up. I said, whoo, I was so glad. Amen. And when I was changing my clothes for my 12 o'clock appointment, I could not find my wallet. And we started searching, and then all of a sudden I started praying, and I had a flash in my mind, and I saw where I had left my wallet. I took my wallet out to pay for that, but then what I did, I changed my mind. I left my wallet there on the counter. I saw the picture, and I pulled my money clip out, and I paid the lady for the goods I had bought. I was praying the whole time that I was headed back to that grocery store. Amen. And when I got back, the first person that I saw was the lady, the cashier who checked me out. And I told her, I left my wallet, and she said, yes, you did. And I have it in the safe. Hallelujah. I tried to pay her something, but she said, that's my job. People leave things here all the time. Just come back and shop with us. She said, matter of fact, some people leave stuff, and they don't ever come back to get it. I thanked her. I started to walk out, and then I turned, reached in my pocket, pulled out a $20 bill. I handed it to her, and I said, take this. She said, no. I said, take this. Please take this. I want to bless you. And she did, and I was so thankful to get my wallet back, and I began to praise God for his divine favor. I tell you, that's favor. That is God's favor when you lose your wallet. And there wasn't any money in there, but it was three credit cards in there, and it was my driver's license and all my important stuff in there. So I just began to thank God for his favor. But if you want to get back what you lost, you got to go back to where you left it. The same principle applies to our physical health. You cannot leave good eating habits, exercise, and proper rest and do that for a long time and not lose your health. If you leave the principle of good eating habits and exercise and taking care of yourself, it's just a matter of time until you lose your health. But the good news is this. If you want to get back what you lost, you got to go back to what you left. As a society, we have left morality. We have left modesty. We have left the fear of God. And we have lost the smile of God. You cannot leave holiness and not lose godliness. You cannot leave separation and not lose distinction. When we leave something, we lose something. And you cannot leave the principles and the precepts of God's word and not lose. It may take it a while to catch up with you, but when you leave, you lose. And if you're going to get back what you lost, you got to go back and return to what you left. If you've lost joy, return to praise. You can stay depressed if you want to. You can stay down if you want to. God will let you stay in that downward position. But if you have lost your joy, return to praise. God said, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. If you've lost your victory, return to the Word of God. Return to seeking God. Return unto the Lord, and He will return unto you. To get back, go back. If you leave the prayer room without going back to that prayer room, I promise you something, you're going to lose some things in your life. Do you have a prayer life? I know you have a television life. You got an internet life. You got an HBO life. You got a Facebook life. You got a sports life. You got a entertainment life. But do you have a prayer life? Because you cannot leave prayer without losing. I'm afraid the modern church has done that, and we've tried to program everything in. But you cannot leave and not lose. And if you want to get back what you've lost, you got to go back to what you left. Hallelujah. It's costing you something not to be close, very, very close to God. If you leave consecration, if you leave sanctification, if you leave dedication, if you leave purity and standards, you can get by with it for a while, but you cannot leave without losing. And if you want to get back what you've lost, you got to go back to what you left. The only reason Samson lost his power is because he lost purity. When you leave purity, you lose power, simply because purity produces power. He left his vows that he had. He had power. He left his vows to God, which were, I won't cut my hair, I won't eat certain dead things, I won't touch certain things, and I won't drink wine. Those were his vows to God. Amen. The anointing that rests upon his life depended upon those vows that he made to his God on a personal basis. What have you promised God you would do, and then you went back from doing what you said you would do? I'm going to tell you something on this principle. It is costing you something to do what you're doing. And the only way you'll ever get back what you lost is to go back to what you left. When Samson left his vows to do what God had asked him to do, God left his promise to do what God would do in Samson's life. And if you leave the principle and the precepts of God, it's just a matter of time until you lose his presence and you lose his smile and you lose his favor and you lose his anointing. And you lose his presence because you cannot consistently keep leaving and thinking you will not lose. And the curse of this generation is it wants back what it lost, but it doesn't want to go back to what it left. The curse of this generation is it wants back what it lost, but it does not want to go back to what it left. And we have left prayer, we have left holiness, we have left brokenness, we have left selling out to God and taking up our cross daily and following Jesus. And if you want the joy that comes from a close walk with Jesus, you've got to go back to what you left to get back what you lost. It takes passion and it takes determination and it takes a discipline to walk in holiness and follow the standards of God. They used to sing a song when I was growing up, and those old songs, they ran down in me. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Hallelujah, let it be. Dear Lord, let it be. I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, daily walk, close to thee. Sing it with me, just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Hallelujah, let it be. Dear Lord, let it be. Yes, let it be. Dear Lord, let it be. I think I'll take me a praise break. Hallelujah. I want a close walk, Lord. I want to walk with the King. Hallelujah. I want to hear you, Lord. I want to feel you, Lord. I want your presence with me, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo! Go on, praise him. Hallelujah. Shout aloud unto God with the voice of triumph. Tell him, Lord, will thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? We're a rejoicing people. Hallelujah. We want your presence. We want your anointing. We want your signs, your wonders, your miracles. We want to see our children walking with the King. Hallelujah. See, we've got programs, we've got pageants, we've got production, we've got plans. But do you have a prayer life? Look at Colossians 3 and 1. The great apostle Paul said, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not upon the things of earth. In other words, set your affection like concrete. Said, here I stand and nothing is going to move me. I'm going to stand on the word of God. I'm going to believe God. And my God said, having done all to stand, stand. And I'm going to stand in holiness. I'm going to stand in purity. And I'm going to stand in power. And the devil's in big trouble because I'm going to praise God. And God inhabits the praises of his people. And he's going to come down, show up and show off and win my victories. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Glory to God. Money can't make you happy. Things can't make you happy. Popularity and followers on Facebook and the internet, they cannot satisfy a soul. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Jesus fills you with joy. Jesus fills you with peace. Jesus fills you with purpose. Amen. And no one can afford to lose the presence of God. Samson laid his head in Delilah's lap one time too many, and he lost. Look at Judges 16:20. And she, Delilah, said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep. Some people need to wake up. God's giving you a wake-up call this morning. He awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at the other times before and shake myself. And he wist not. He knew not that the Spirit of God was departed from him. Samson lost his vision. They put his eyes out. You know what his problem was? His problem was women. And they poked his eyes out, and he was put down at a mill grinding. That's what the devil does. He binds, and then he grinds. And he just grinds and grinds and grinds away on your life until there's nothing left. Nothingness. Samson never saw another beautiful woman. What he loved and what cost him is what he loved and what he wanted to do is what cost him his vision. He lost his vision. Amen. He lost his liberty. He lost his usefulness to God. And he lost his reputation. And he woke up one day and he knew not that the Spirit of God had departed from him. He left and he lost. What have you left? He left and he lost. What have you left? He left his consecration. He left his commitment. He left his purity. And he lost his power. Have you left the place of purity? If you have, then I've got some sad news. You're losing. But I got some good news. If you return, God is merciful and God will restore. Nobody may not know what you're doing, but God sees it. And if you leave the principles and the concepts of purity, you lose power in your prayer life and you lose power in your walk with God. If you leave, you lose. If you come back, you get back. In your marriage, you cannot leave off communication and spending time with one another. If you leave spending time with one another, then you're going to lose intimacy. If you leave communicating with one another, then you're going to lose a precious family. If you leave, you lose. If you come back, you get back. If you return to what you left, you can recover what you lost. If you return to what you left, you can recover what you lost. The Shunammite woman in 2 Kings chapter 18, she was told by the prophet Elisha to leave because a famine was coming. And she left for 7 years. She was gone. And at the end of 7 years, she came back. And I want you to notice the key to the story. She left. She gave up her house. She gave up her land. She gave up everything. And she left. She comes back 7 years later, and the first person she goes to see is the king. If you want to get back what you've lost, hey, you got to go back to the king. I said if you want to get back what you lost, you got to go back to the king. Hallelujah. If you want to get back what you've lost, you got to go back. Don't keep going down the road of sin. Don't think you can sin and win, because nobody can. Nobody's ever been able to. No one will ever be able to. That goes for the preacher. That goes for the prophet. That goes for the evangelist, the apostle. It goes for every church member. It goes for every person that's ever walked with the king. You got to come back to the king and bow your life and confess him as Lord and completely surrender your life to him and your will to him if you want God's blessings. Some of you have lost so much, and you keep thinking you can make a success out of a life of sin, but you can't. And as long as you leave Jesus out and leave his word and leave the principles and concepts of purity, holiness, and being set apart for God's purpose, when you leave that, you lose all of the benefits that come with that. The key is, if you want to get back what you've lost, you got to go back to the king. I want what I lost, Pastor, but I don't return to what I left, is the cry of this generation. I want the feelings I used to have. I want the joy I used to have. I want the peace. I want the spirit. I want the anointing, Pastor. I want to feel God like I used to feel him, but I don't want to go back to what I left. Because that was when I was on fire for God. That's when I came to church every time the church doors opened. That's when I prayed. That's when I fasted. That's when I sought God about every decision in my life. That's when I said, when we're having another revival, I want to get back to church. I want to get back to the king. I want to get back to his presence. I want to hear a word from God. I need a word from God. I need to hear from God my Father. I need to walk. Daily walk close with my Lord and Master, Jesus Christ. When we're going to have another revival, Pastor? So I don't want to go back to that. That's when I was on fire for God. That's when I was living a consecrated life. That's when I was sold out. You know, too many people today, they're living on a low level of spirituality. It's called the spirit of lukewarmness. And it has invaded our culture. It has invaded the churches of America. There's still revivals that are going on. God is pouring his spirit out. I was reading some statistics recently on the light and taking the gospel light into all the world. And the thing that amazed me is, since they started those statistics in the 1900s at the Azusa Street Revival and the outpouring of God's spirit as we know it today, that each generation, even though the population has grown significantly, the church has not done what the church was put here to do. Still about one-third of the people in the world's population are Christians. Or say they're Christians. So, church, we got a work to do. Amen. Too many people there living at a low level of spirituality because of the spirit and the curse of lukewarmness. And too many churches are under it. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, Jesus said, you left, not you lost, you left your first love. Remember, if you leave, you lose. He didn't say you've lost your love. He said you have left your first love. But you got to know, if you leave, you lose. Look at Revelation 2 and 4. Jesus said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. There it is. He said, you've left me. And then he said, repent or else I will come quickly and remove your candlestick. Look at Revelation 2 and 5. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent. And do thy first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. The Lord of the candlestick said, if you leave me as your first love, it is just a matter of time until I take your fire. He said, I want first place in your life. I want first place in your heart. I want first place in your home. I want first place when you go to the job. I want first place in every place that you go, because I am the King and I want to sit upon the throne of your heart. And he does that not to scold you, not to take from you, because he knows what is best for you. And he knows that the word of God will keep you. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against it. We got people that come to church. They are so backslidden. They never come in here. They come to this church. They never come in here to hear me preach. And do you know what they've done? They drifted and drifted and drifted. They're on a drift. And I tell you what, when I bring somebody else in here, guess what? They don't come in here anyway. It didn't matter if I brought the Apostle Paul in here, if I brought Jesus himself. Some people have already decided, I'm not coming in there. I'm not going to hear what thus saith the Lord. Oh, they got religion, but do they have the relationship with God they should have? Why, you're preaching mighty hard, Pastor. No, I'm preaching as the prophet of God this morning. I'm preaching with a prophetic anointing. I'm preaching and calling the church back to holiness, back to purity, back to righteousness. I got to get back, hallelujah. Sometimes I got to call old Jerry back, amen. I tell you, I can get on a drift just like anybody else, but I made my mind up. I'm going to serve God, and I'm going to try my best to live according to God's standards of holiness and purity, and I'm going to have a prayer life, and I'm going to seek God, and I'm going to call upon God, because I don't want to lose what I got when I left what I left, and I'm never going back to that. I'm just pressing on toward the King. Hallelujah. Go on, praise him. Woo! Ramoshete, Rashamokoshaya, Ramokoshaya. Oh, God, give us Holy Ghost boldness to preach the word of God. And it doesn't matter whether I please men or not. As long as I please you, Lord, you're keeping the record book. You're the one that hands out the reward. You're the one that's going to say at the end of the journey, well done, thy good and faithful servant, that has been faithful over a few things. Enter thou into the joys of the Lord. These things are just temporal. But I'm going to a city where they need no moon, no sun to shine there, because Jesus Christ is the light thereof. There'll be no tears. There'll be no weeping. There'll be no gravesides on the hillsides of glory. There'll be no pain. Jesus will be there, the great physician, the great healer. And right before we walk through the door, I can just imagine in my heart the Lord looking and saying, I see those tears. The Bible says he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. He said, wait a minute, right before you come in, let me take those tears and wipe them away. You know what it is to be touched by that nail-scarred hand. Can you imagine getting a glorified body and being touched by that nail-scarred hand? Revelation 2 and 5. Remember from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do thy first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove the candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. The Lord of the candlestick said, if you leave me, it may take some time, but you're going to lose your fire. I'll take your passion. He said, I'll take your light. All that God has to do to bring judgment in your life is to turn the light off. All that God has to do to bring judgment into a light is to turn light off. And when he does, you won't know where you're going and you won't know what you're doing. He said, you have left your first love. And when you do that, it's just a matter of time until you lose your candlestick. You lose the illumination of God's purpose and God's plan for your life. Oh, to see and to hear and to understand and have a revelation of God's will and God's purpose for your life. That's one of the greatest things you could ever discover in life. And you can lose that. He said, you have left your first love. But God is so good, if you will come back to what you left, you can get back what you lost. You can get your fire back. You can get your praise back. You can get your tears back. You can get your joy back. You can get your peace back. And you'll be able to see again because God will give you the vision back. You know, people in the business world, they understand this principle. If they start seeing their sales going down, if they stop seeing the orders coming in, they call a business meeting. And they get all the executives into a business room. They gather together and they say, something's wrong. Something's off. We used to do this, somebody will say, and we used to do that, somebody else will say. And they began to analyze the whole situation. And many times it comes down to customer satisfaction. If you leave the principles of people for profits, you will always lose. Serve people and profits will automatically always come if you're running your business right. But so many times we get caught up in cutting here and cutting there, and we lose the principle of people and we trade the principle of people for profits. So remember, if you leave off the principles and precepts of God's word, you're going to lose something. In Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son left the father's house. Now watch this. If you leave, you lose. He left a father and a farm. He left the produce of the farm and the blessings and the goodness of the father. He left it. When he left it, he didn't even know he had lost. And the astonishing part of the story is he never thought that he would lose. He thought he could leave the father and the father's house and not lose. And it's the same old lie that Satan is telling millions of people today. And he left the father and he left the father's house. And he didn't even think he would lose. And he said, look at me. Look at all the stuff I've got. I got all this money. I'm throwing parties. I'm having parties. I've got all these friends. Just look at what I've got. And it may take a while. This guy, he's smoking weed, he's in the clubs, he's backing it up, he's paying for all the drinks there. He's having tons of fun, he's just having a blast. It may take a while, but I promise you this, the principle will work. If you leave the father's house, you're going to lose something. It's just a matter of time before you end up in the pig pen. Down, broke, disgusted, tore up, and messed up. But here's the good news. Hallelujah. The Father is still saying, come back. I tell you, you can have a sudden comeback. You can come back from your setback. Amen. And if you will come back to what you left, you can get back what you lost. Nobody can leave righteousness. Nobody can leave godliness and not lose. He left, he lost, and so will you. But if you will come back, God is plenteous in mercy. Some of you are just like the prodigal son. You are on a downward trend. He lost his dignity. He lost the farm. He lost all the produce. And now he's eating pig slops. Some people feel like they can leave the farm and still have the crop, but you can't. If you leave, you lose. Until you return unto what you left. But thank God, we are allowed to come back. In the modern day church, in this church today, we've lost some things. We've lost miracles. We've lost signs and wonders. We've lost the baptism in the Holy Ghost. We've lost the consecrated, holy, pure life. We've lost radical praise and faith. And unbelief has taken over many in the church age in which we live. And the reason for that is because we have left the message of Acts chapter 2. And the church needs today, what it really needs is a fresh Pentecostal experience. Look at Acts chapter 2 and 1. The Bible says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Hallelujah. We need another wind. We need a wind to come in and blow some stuff out. We need a fresh wind of the Holy Ghost to come and blow some stuff in. Some good stuff. Blow out the pollution, blow out the sin, and blow in godliness and holiness and purity. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. They were appearing unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. We need the fire to come and burn some things out. Burn some things in. Burn some standards in. Burn some holiness in. Burn some commitment in. Set our hearts ablaze to where, praise God, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I made up my mind, praise God. I'm not going to lose what I've got. I'm pressing on toward the upward way. Hallelujah. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, Acts 2 and 4. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. And they went out and preached Jesus with signs and wonders following, and they turned their world upside down. They were a people of praise, a people of purity, and a people of power. Let's go back to what we left. Let's tell people there's power in the blood. There's power in the Holy Ghost. There's power to pray in a divine heavenly language. There's power to cast out devils, to heal the sick, and to set the captive free. There's power, power in the name of Jesus. And we'll go back to what we left. We can get back what we lost. Hallelujah. He will heal today. He will deliver today. He will still set the drug addict free. He will still set the alcoholic free. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. You know, I started out in this walk with the Holy Ghost and His power in my life. And I'm not going to leave. Amen. I'm not going to lose something because I left Him. No siree. Hallelujah. By the help and grace of God, I have made up my mind. And I asked God to keep me. When I got saved, I said, God, people know my life, and they know where I've been, they know what I've been through, they know I've been off to war, they've seen my life. God, I want you to keep me. I want to people to know, I want to be able to look at my life and say, that man was all messed up, but he came to the cross of Jesus Christ, and Jesus changed that man. Jesus did something in his life. I had somebody tell me, said, I'll tell you one thing, Jerry, Jesus works for you, but Jesus won't work for me. He was a drunk and an alcoholic. I said, Jesus will work for you and Jesus will work for anybody else if they'll come to Calvary's cross as power in the blood. And I want that testimony. I say, oh, God, keep me from falling. Please help me to have a good holy walk, a lifestyle, God, that exemplifies Jesus Christ. And I'm human just like you are. But I was reading my Bible one day and it said, unto him that is able to keep us from falling and present us faultless before his presence with exceeding great joy. Hallelujah. I tell you, if he saves you, he can keep you. But you got to do your part. Amen. You've got to walk with the king. You got to return to the king. See, curse of the church today is too many Christians. They've lost their joy. If you are a joyless Christian, return to praise. Stop grieving. Stop whining. Stop complaining. And put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Hallelujah. And if you will have a grateful heart, God will break through. I said if you will have a grateful heart, God will break through in your situation. It doesn't matter what the devil brings. If you will have a grateful heart and if you will praise God and if you will live a consecrated life, God will break through on you. Woo! Go on and pray. I think we ought to take a praise break. Come on. Let's praise God. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Let's take a praise break. Give the devil a migraine headache. God will break through. God will do it. Hallelujah. Whatever you're seeking after, whatever you're longing after, if you will go back, you can get back because God will take care of you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God said, return unto me and I will return unto you. God has guaranteed a reception if we will return. And if you will come back to what you left, you can get back what you lost. I want to end by reading Joel chapter 2. Again, God says, return unto me. And look at Joel 2:13. And rend your hearts and not your garment. And turn or return unto the Lord your God. I don't know what you heard about God, but I do want you to hear this. For he is gracious and merciful. And I want you to hear this. Slow to anger. You thought he was mad. You thought he hated you. But he's slow to anger. And look at this. And of great kindness. He is of great kindness to anyone who will return to him. And repenteth him of evil. In other words, when you return, he changes your mind, his mind rather, and he holds back the judgment that you deserve. And look at verse 14, what it says. I love this. Who knows if he will return and repent? God, change his mind. And leave a blessing behind, even a meat, a grain offering. That's bread. And a drink offering, that's the wine unto the Lord. That's the elements of Holy Communion. He gave his body and he gave his blood. Because he loves you. He's ready to pardon you. He's ready to restore you. And if you're tired of losing, if you will come back to where you left, you can get back what you lost. God is so kind. It's like in the story of the prodigal son. The father is not angry with you. He loves you. He's slow to anger. He's plenteous in mercy, and he's ready for you to come and return to him. Yes. And if you will return to him, he will restore to you all that you lost. The king is calling, and he's calling sinners to come and repent. He wants to save them and give them eternal life. And he's calling backsliders to come back home to him. If you leave, you lose. But if you return, you get back what you lost. Let us stand. Pastor Ricky. Hallelujah.
Jesus made it on. Oh, to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He
washed it
white as snow. Say that again. Jesus paid it all.
Hallelujah.
All to him I owe. Sin.
Feel like that today. Lord, I owe you everything.
Verse 1. And I hear the Savior.
Let's come to the altar, church.
Thy strength in thee.
If you come back to what you left, you get back what you lost.
Child of weakness, watch and pray.
Hallelujah. You get back, go back. I love you, Lord.
Jesus paid it all.
Oh, Lord.
All to him.
Lord. It's me, Lord.
Sin had left.
It's me, Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Well, I preach your word, but I stand in need today. I preached it, Lord, to the best of my ability. And I prayed over it, Lord. Now, Holy Ghost, do what only you can do. Work in my heart, Lord. Work in my life. Work in the lives of people here, Lord.
The leper's spot.
Lord, we need you.
And
Lord, help me. Help me, Lord.
Jesus,
help me. Search me, O God. Try me. See if there be any wicked way in me, O God, and remove it, please. I don't want you to remove my candlestick. I don't want you to remove the light, the fire, and the passion, Lord. No, Lord. Remove the things, the sin. The little foxes that spoil the vine. The little things, God.
That are
unpleasing. Like a bad attitude at times, Lord. Help me there.
Oh,
like my human nature, my flesh that I work on all the time, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord, to bear the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Oh, Lord, touch us. Lord, we don't want religion, we want relationship. We don't want a form and a fashion, we want fire. We want the delivering power of God, and only purity can produce power.
Oh, my Jesus paid it all, and all.